This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I will praise you in the morning, to the sunset in the evening. I will praise you, I will praise you. When I'm drowning underwater, in the deepest, darkest ocean, I will praise you, I will praise you.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله Dear sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته A family vision When you first got married, I'm assuming most of you are married or thinking of getting married When you first get married, you are literally entering into a new creative state. In fact, I can't think of any union or any stage of life that is as symbolic of being creative as marriage. You are literally going to be a couple that brings forth life, inshallah, create a creative force that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put within you. New life, a new culture. What do I mean by new culture? Whether you and your husband are from the same culture or not, you know, even if he's from a different culture, or if you're from the same culture, the fact that you're brought up by different parents means that you both come from different cultural backgrounds. What that means is that once you come together, you have the opportunity now to bring forth a new culture, your own family culture. A new legacy. It's the opportunity to create a new legacy. So, inshallah, your children, what you as a family unit build together, will one day benefit you in your grave. SubhanAllah, sometimes we belittle the legacy and the power of what our children are to such a degree, we're not aware of it at all. A sister, just a few weeks ago, she said to me, I know children, you know, mashallah, they bring a lot of joy and, you know, but why should I have more children? And she was just not feeling very motivated to have any more children. And I just thought to myself, SubhanAllah, like, is it that we are not talking about this enough? Is it that the whole world keeps telling us about all the different things we could do to build a legacy to such an extent that we no longer talk about a family, raising a human being the ultimate legacy? And I had to mention to her the very famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I'm sure you are all aware of, that when a person passes away, all of their deeds are cut off except for three, right? Can you tell me what the three things are that continue to benefit us even after we die? Knowledge that he taught or he left behind that continues to benefit people. What did you say? Your children that you leave behind, who make dua for you. Yep. Sadaqa jariya, that's the third one, right? But the one that we're going to focus on is the child who prays for you. You know, SubhanAllah, it's not even just that the child is the most likely person to pray for you after you pass away. But every single good deed that that child does, every single time our children recite Surah Al-Fatiha in their salah, the Surah Al-Fatiha that you taught them, every single time they behave in a way that they learn from you, SubhanAllah, you're getting reward for that. Even beyond our graves, we're going to get reward for that. And then their children and everything that they teach them, you know, that's going to continue to benefit us. And then their children and then their children. So on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, inshallah, we'll be turning up, scared, worried, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a huge pile of good deeds. Thousands of umrahs, maybe millions, thousands of hajj, maybe millions, fast. And we're going to look at all of that and we're going to say, I didn't do all of that. I didn't do all of that. And it will be said to us that it was your child and their children and then their children. SubhanAllah, if we were to live 1,000 years, can you imagine? You would have your own little nation, right? That exists here in the UK. My parents have only been here since the 70s, and they've got a little mini nation now, right? With their children all having children. And it just grows exponentially. They used to be so lonely. You can probably relate to this. Your parents or your grandparents, they were really lonely when they came here. Probably most of us grew up without any family around. We didn't have aunties, uncles. They were all back in some foreign country, right? And now, just one or two generations later, it's like you can't keep up with your relatives, right? You can't visit all your brothers and sisters. You get a bit tired of them as well, you know? And all the cousins and SubhanAllah. Look how exponentially the blessing of children grows. So that is the one thing that we as women need to bear in mind. Because society is not going to tell us that. Society won't tell us that. It doesn't tell us to value our children. So entering marriage is the ultimate creative state. That means you get a chance to create something new, you know? And that's one of the great blessings, isn't it? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way He's created this world, there's constant renewal, constantly, you know, people are passing away, new ones are being born, and with that, every generation moves forward and forward and forward, and progress takes place. So, in all of that is so much hikmah, if only we were to pay attention. So, you have a chance as a person, as one of the creative forces within a marriage, to create a vision for that marriage and for that family, and perhaps for the little ummah that you will be the head of. One of the things we have to bear in mind is that everything that isn't maintained goes downhill, right? I'm sure you've experienced that. You know, we experience that with our bodies, right? Anything that isn't maintained, if you don't keep on top of it, don't keep on top of the healthy diet, the exercise, and or even, you know, the beauty treatments, or taking care of yourself, taking care of your house, if you don't take care of things, what happens to them? They fall apart, right? Slowly but surely, there's decay. That's just like the nature of this world. And marriage and building a family is just the same. If you don't maintain it, you don't invest in it, if you don't have a vision for it, if you don't keep nurturing it, the decay will set in and slowly but surely, things will start falling apart. So why do we need to know this? Why is this important? If you look at in the Quran, even the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had a vision for his family. So just imagine, not only did he have vision, he had imagination. I think we can learn a lot from that. Because just imagine this. He is standing in the middle of the desert with his son Ismail. His only son at the time, I believe. Or at least his only son in that part of the world. And both of them are building this Kaaba. They're building this Kaaba. There's no one really to come to the Kaaba, but they're building it anyway. Because Allah's commanded them to. And while they're doing that, what is Ibrahim alayhi salam doing? He's being very imaginative. And he's making dua. And he's spelling out his vision. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ رَبَّنَا وَاجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. In these beautiful three ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how Ibrahim alayhi salam set out his vision for his family. And he asked Allah that that vision would come to reality. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and when Ibrahim and his son were building the house, they were laying the foundations of the house, they said, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Oh Allah, accept this from us, this thing that we're doing, accept it from us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Indeed, you are the all-hearing, the all-knowledgeable. رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ. Oh Allah, make us two Muslims, make us those who submit to you. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. And from our progeny, from our children, make a nation, he said, a nation of Muslims for you, those who submit to you. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُوبَ عَلَيْنَا. And show us how to do our rituals of Hajj. وَتُوبَ عَلَيْنَا. And forgive us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily you are the all-forgiving, the all-merciful. And then they carried on making dua. They said, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. Oh Allah, our Lord, send for them, or send from them, from amongst them, a messenger from you, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ, who will recite your words to them, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, and will teach them the book. And we know the book, which is the Qur'an, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, and that will, who will teach them hikmah, wisdom, and will purify them. Verily you are the supreme and the all-wise. And subhanAllah, in answer to the dua of Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to that nation. He was the Rasul that Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed for. He came with the three things, al-kitab, wal-hikmah, were to purify them, and tazkiyah. The kitab being the Qur'an, the hikmah, the wisdom being the sunnah of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And purification being, you know, the purification of the soul that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, taught us with his actions and with his behavior. So you see, my sisters, can you imagine the dua of an old man, alayhi salam, in the middle of a desert with his son, where he can't really imagine his progeny and his, you know, his future progeny being anything, came true in such a spectacular way. In a spectacular way. In fact, we are benefiting from the dua of Ibrahim. Think about it. Yeah? That messenger who came, he taught us, and we're here today as, you know, Muslimin, inshallah, in answer to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the Quran encourages us to have vision. It encourages us to make dua for things that seem impossible, for things that seem amazing, right? Just like Ibrahim alayhi salam did. The Quran encourages us to make the dua. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. That, oh Allah, make for us from our spouses and our children the coolness of our eyes. Make them the coolness of our eyes. And the scholars said the coolness of the eyes. Some of the people, they asked some of the scholars, you know, is this coolness of the eyes that we get on the Day of Judgment? And they said, no. This coolness of the eyes, of course, on the Day of Judgment, you would get coolness of the eyes from your children as well. But this coolness of the eyes is the peace and the happiness that a parent feels when they see their children and their spouses obeying Allah. SubhanAllah. And isn't that what we all dream of? All this effort we're putting into our little ones, what do we want to see at the end? We want to see them worshipping Allah when they grow up. And then at the end of the dua, وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And make us leaders, make us imams of the righteous, subhanAllah, of those who have taqwa. So straight away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us in the Quran to have high aims, right? To think big, to think of our children as something big, bigger than what they are at the moment, as leaders. And what does it mean to be a leader? To be a leader means you have to be at the top of your game. So right at the beginning, you're asking Allah to make your child a role model. Make your family a role model family. The other people, when they look at you, they see you as leaders. They want to follow your way. They want to copy you. SubhanAllah. And that is not going to happen through complacency and without some vision. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do? We need to become very deliberate about the things that we do. And our deen encourages us to do that. Encourages us to have intentions. And what are intentions except having visions, right? You have a vision for the future. You have an intention for the way your family is going to be, the way your marriage is going to be, the way you're going to show up as a family in this world, and how people are going to experience you, right? So some of the means that I would take to do this are, first of all, we need to sit by ourselves and we need to take account of our own, where we are right now, right? Where you are as a person right now and where you want to be. And then after that, you need to have that same kind of meeting with your husband, okay? Where you both sit together and you think about and talk about and thrash out, what kind of family do we want? What is the guiding light for our family? And subhanAllah, so few people do this. And that's why, what happens? Because you've never spelt out verbally together and made that intention that the purpose of our family is to serve Allah. The purpose of our life and our family is to get to Jannah. We want to get to Jannah. We want to do everything that it takes to please Allah in any given situation. Because we never spell that out, when hardship comes and it hits us, right? When the inevitable suffering and hardship of this world comes and hits us, what happens? When the tests hit us, we fall apart. We don't know which way to go. Everyone's going in different directions. People are falling apart. They don't know. They're giving up. They're willing to just leave it now. Forget it. It's too difficult. We weren't meant to be together, etc., etc., etc. And that happens because when those hardships hit, that's when you need your vision the most. You need your vision because, subhanAllah, if you lose a child and it hurts you, you feel like your whole life is going to end. What's going to sustain you if it's not that you're both on the same page and you know what the purpose of this life is and the way that you had intended to head? If you never knew that in the first place, then the big tests of life are going to throw you off track. So it's really important as a couple to sit down and draw up a vision for your life. One book that I will recommend to you is, and this will help you to write a vision. And you need to do that as a couple first, before you bring the kids in, before you bring them on board with this. And that is The 7 Habits of Highly, I think, Successful Families. Okay, so it's on in that same group of books as The 7 Habits, you know, by Stephen Covey. This is the family version. You've got to read it. It's such an excellent book, mashallah. And within it, you'll find how to write a vision. Or I think there's a link in there that shows you how to write a vision online. And you need to do that as a couple and spell it out. Then you need to have regular family meetings with your kids, especially as they get older. Maybe not when they're very young, but at least, you know, by the time they're 10, definitely should start having family meetings. And I would say as a minimum once a year, if not twice. And what would you do in those family meetings? So in those family meetings, you spend a little bit of time re-expressing what your family vision is. You know, if it doesn't get said, it won't go into the kids. You know, so it's really important that they're on board as well, that they're on board. In those meetings, you would go through each person in the room and you'll talk about what have you achieved in the past year. And get into that habit. What have we achieved in the past year? Just name three things. Three things so we can feel good. We don't just want to feel negative about ourselves and what we haven't achieved. We want to feel good about the things that we have achieved and integrate those. And, you know, you might have to sit there with a diary and write this out, you know. But it's such a meaningful exercise because it allows each person in the family to start taking stock of their year. So you write down, what have we achieved this year? Each person, what are some of the memories from this year that were really great? You know, and get people to talk about those so that as a family, you become grateful and gratitude becomes a norm. And then each person gets a chance to express what have been some of the challenges they faced this year that they need to share with the family, okay? Now, if it's a very personal thing, I would say you have one-to-ones with each child. But if it's something to do with the family, you literally ask the question, what is good about our family? And you talk about that. And what are some of the things that we need to improve as a family? So it could be that one child notices that, you know, the family, the profanity in the family has increased, right? Swearing, basically, right? Or, you know, somebody's not feeling good. Somebody's not experiencing this family in the positive way that you might be thinking it is. Somebody's feeling bullied. Somebody's feeling left out. Somebody's feeling ignored. That space is a chance for them to be able to share that. For them to be able to say, I don't like it, Mom and Dad, when you argue in front of me. I don't like it when this happens. And you allow that to be a free space. Even though you feel like diminishing what they say, right? You say, no, it's not like that. It's not that bad. You feel like saying that to them. But don't do that. Resist that temptation. Allow them the space. Because if we don't allow them the space, then they won't share what's really on their mind. So, warts and all, you sit there and you listen to your children complaining about everything that they think is wrong, right? And you also have your own list, right? For example, there's too much burden on one person in the house, maybe. You know? Certain people are not doing the chores. Whatever it is, right? You get to spell it out as well. And in that annual meeting, you set new intentions. And you get them to say those intentions and agree to those intentions. And then you go around the room and you ask each person to spell out three goals for this year. Three goals, three things they want to be able to say they achieved by the time of the next meeting. And that's why you've got to write it down, because otherwise everyone forgets what those were. And also, you can whip that diary out again in a year's time and you can bring everybody to account, including yourself. So, three things. The reason why I mentioned three is because I found that with teenagers, they, for some reason, can't think of more than that. So three seems like a good number, you know. But you personally might have more. You know, you and your husband, you can go through different areas of your life. Our financial life, our marriage, you know, marriage goals, our family goals, our extended family goals. You know, you can write down your goals as a sister, you know, to your siblings. Your goals as an auntie, you know, maybe that's an area that might be neglected if you're not intentional about it, right? All these areas need nurturing, right? My dad, he always says to us, love has little compartments. Love has little compartments. And there's different compartments for different people. You have a love for your mother, you have a love for your father, you have a love for your siblings, a certain type of love for your friends. And all those little compartments need something to be put inside them, yeah? so that we don't end up neglecting. So we do that. We mention three goals that we want to have achieved by the end of the year. They can be simple things like, I want to pass my exams. I want to get into a good university. I want to get into a good secondary school. Whatever it is, you know, make three things that then at the end of the year they can look back and think, yeah, I did that. I did that. And then they'll get into that habit of succeeding, right? And setting goals and succeeding and setting goals and succeeding. Include in that vision the feelings that you as a family want to have. What kind of a culture do we want to have? We want to have a loving culture. We want to be people who value people, not technology and things, right? That's something that ends up happening. That we start becoming the sorts of people whose children don't care about family members. They care more about the things that those family members will buy them, right? We don't want that. We need to become intentional about that and highlight that to our kids. No, those gifts are not important. They're just a symbol. What's important is the person. Talk about that kind of atmosphere you want to have in your house. Is your house becoming a place of anger? Is it becoming a place where people are becoming complacent about salah? Is one of the things you want to make a must in your family that you pray in jama'ah most of the salahs, as if people are at home? You know, those sorts of things. It takes a bit of time, it takes a bit of thought, but it's really worth it. It's really worth it. Think about the rules that you want to have as a family and the manners that you want as a family to have. My sisters, if we don't become intentional, if we don't sit down and write a vision for our family, and we don't at least think about it and set it out, then we may store up problems for the future. How many marriages started off great? You know, they were great. Even when you maybe first had your first child, it was great. But by the third, fourth child, you know, too much neglect has caused the rot to set in. And that's because we never gave it the time. We never nurtured it. So with your spouse, you need to become intentional. At least once a week, at least I would say 1 hour or 1.5 hours needs to be spent just talking about the routine, you know, what's going to happen, the planning for the week, etc., right? So that's kind of like the admin, right? At least 1 hour needs to take place every week. That is admin. And then aside from that, you need to schedule in time. And it has to be scheduled in because, I should be saying scheduled, right? It should be scheduled in that you have certain time that is just for you, you and him. That you don't talk about the worries of the world and you don't talk about the kids and you just get to connect, just for connection, just to have that frivolous chat, you know, go away, have a drink together, something, you know, do something that's just for you. And if you can do that overnight, I know it's easier said than done, you know. But, you know, when we really want to do something, we manage to do it, right? We manage to find the childcare when we really want to do something. So I think when it comes to marriage, this is one of the most important things that we should be able to find help for. So if you need to get somebody to look after the kids, do it. But have times when you and your husband are alone together at night as well, right? And you need that regularly. If you can't do it every month, let's start off with 4 times a year. Let's then build it up to more than that, you know? If you really want to do it, you could do it. And it's really worth it. Because unfortunately, as the years go by, what happens? You can very easily start drifting apart. Because you just haven't spent that time together. You haven't fed the marriage. So make sure that that is a very important, and it's not selfish, it's actually maintenance for the family. Because your children are going to be so much better off when they have happy parents, when they have parents who are connected, who are not fighting all the time, who don't seem to be on different paths. So that's why it's worth it. It's worth putting that effort in. if we don't do this, we could end up at in different destinations to our spouses. Because life is tough. You know, if you live long enough, most of us will face tests. And without something, a guiding star to focus on, without a vision for our families, it's too difficult. It's too difficult to recalibrate yourself and get back on track after those tough times. So, in summary, sisters, self-reflection. Having those moments of self-reflection where you literally spell out all the different roles that you have in life, including being a sister, including being a friend. And you literally write what your vision is for each of those. And then your vision as a couple. Spend that time thinking about it together and spelling it out. Then as a family, having regular meetings and regularly appraising how good it's going, which things you fell short on. Even if every year you make the same promise and then, the same intention and then it keeps falling, get back on track. Because you're teaching your kids. You're teaching your kids a very valuable lesson. That we made the intention, we didn't quite get there, but we can at least improve. Every year we can at least improve. We can continue having that intention. And then you have your vision, but then you also have goals, regular goals along the way to that vision. And a very important part of that is constantly appraising, meaning that you're then asking yourself, did we meet our goals or did we not? That's very important because it's very easy to set out a vision and then not account yourself for it. It's just written in some book somewhere, right? And then based on that, you adjust. You keep adjusting your vision, you keep adjusting your goals as the circumstances change. And inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, hopefully, we will get the credit as mothers, as the ones who are the visionaries of our families. We will get the credit for the little ummah that will result from our progeny, inshallah, and all the good that will come from that. Inshallah, with that I will leave you. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan.